p.m. This is Radio Ghana.
Good evening and welcome to Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. Accra, the time actually is 4 minutes past eight, and we must apologize for the late start of tonight's program. It was due to technical challenges, which we have now overcome. Welcome to Behind the News tonight. Samia Nkrumah becomes first woman in Ghana's history to lead a political party, but has she got the magic wand to turn the fortunes of the CPP around in next year's elections? One body, two heads, Nooks walks a tight rope. And Vice President Mohamed's comments on the Ghanaian media at the GG Awards night. How are the media responding to his call? Welcome to Behind the News live on Radio Ghana in Accra. Well, in our first story, the National Union of Ghana Students, NUCS, at the weekend elected two national presidents for the union. One in Accra and the other in the Volta region. The development has not gone down well with the student body. What actually accounted for the situation? We'll first talk to the president-elect of NUCS, the one who was elected in Accra, Peter Kwesi Kuji is his name. But before we talk to Peter, our text line for tonight is 026-441-8767. The text line again is 026-441-8767. Good evening to you, Peter.
Hello. Good evening, sir.
Are you the president of NUCS?
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, I can hear you now.
Do you have a radio set by your side, which have its volume a bit high? Can you reduce the volume?
I don't have a radio here.
Okay, so let's go on now. The question is, are you the president of NUCS?
Yes, please.
But you have another person somewhere who was elected?
I think that we face a problem in NUCS, and I think that representing that the problem is going to go better now to solve the problem. I think that the problem such as, if you don't mind...
Hello, Peter. Are you using your phone? Is the radio on your phone on?
I don't think so. I'm receiving feedback.
You're also receiving feedback, so we find it difficult to get to clear here. But let's go over it all again. Can you start answering the question again? I didn't get anything you said.
Yes, I was saying that to say that there are 2%, and for me to say that we don't have a problem would be hypocrite. I think that admitting that we have a problem is the first step towards resolving the problem. And for me, I would have to boil down to an issue of legitimacy. Who has legitimacy at this point in time to hold himself as president of NUCS? Someone who seeks to hold himself as president would have to derive his authority from the tenets of the NUCS constitution. And if you don't mind, I'll take it a little back so that we can understand the perspectives of the issue. At the 41st Congress that was held, that Congress elected Anthony Abuchi Fiyi as president of the union. Hamza Saibu Sumini lost to Abuchi by a significant 31 votes. In December, some group of students come together and say that they are not comfortable with how Abuchi is running the union. And so they have elected for themselves Hamza Sumini to be president of the union. I'll just paint a brief scenario to make us see the kind of illogical talk that goes with them. In 2008, the whole of Ghana goes to the polls and elects Professor Mills as president. Then let's assume that the stronghold of the NPP, Ashanti region and Eastern region, come together and say that they are not comfortable with how President Mills is running the country. So they want to elect Nanado as president of the whole of Ghana. Certainly that would make sense in any way. And that is the kind of situation that we face in.
So then if this situation had persisted for all this while, why did you wait until the term of Suhini expired? Because all along, he's been addressed as NUCS president. And
and that is where we have a problem with our laws. Because when the issue started, Anthony Abuchi Fiyi, the legitimate president, felt that the recourse that he could take to address the problem was to go to the law court, so that the court would consider the issues and give merit and effect to our constitution. And that is how far we have come. The court has delayed in pronouncing who the legitimate president is. And that is how come the blockhead that formed NUCS sought to restrain both Abuchi and Hamza from organizing Congress so that the matters in NUCS could be resolved before the next academic year starts.
But the judge who sat on the case,
he felt that there wasn't a need to hold back the next academic year because of the crisis in one particular academic year. And so both parties could go ahead and organize their congress while the matter still stands in court. So as I speak now, there is a matter still in court as to who the legitimate president of North Korea. And so for me, what affects now is the issue of legitimacy. And should the court rule Abu Dhabi as president, what it means is that every action and resolution flowing out of the congress that was held as who will be held as null and void, and the other way around. But like I said, none of us appreciate these chaos that we face in the union. And so for any of us who sit down today, we want a recommended thought which we can solve this whole fracas in Nubi. And so I have time and over again advocated that, you know what, much as we face problems as students, there are pressing issues that we have left and we're fighting over these pressing issues. So let us be able to forge a way forward so we can, you know, come to a consensus on how we can address this issue. So that has been my stance towards this whole fracas in Nubi. I think that it is bad that we as students would have to, you know, deal with issues the way we were doing. And I think that there should be a recommended path towards resolving this whole crisis.
Okay.
And the recommended path would only come only when we agree on matters of truth and only when we affirm our faith in the constitution of Nubi. Because obviously some people are choosing to set aside the constitution of Nubi and do for themselves what they think is convenient. And that's how come we face this kind of problem.
Okay, Peter, Osman Yarigas is on the line. My question to you before I go to him, and I must apologize again to the listener for the very poor quality of the telephone lines, making it very difficult, even for me in the studio to hear what he's saying. But then, why did you put yourself up for a position like this over a house that is divided?
You're not the first person to have asked me this. But I am one person who looks at issues from a brighter side. You know, if you take a cup half full of water, you go from an optimist. An optimist will say that the cup is half full. A pessimist will say that the cup is half empty. And so depending on how you choose to look at issues, I feel that in our crisis, that is when we can come out even stronger. Every breed of issues, when they get to a point where they are almost annihilated, that is where they evolve to a better species. And I think that is where Nubi has gotten to. We have gotten to a point where we have to evolve to get to a better species. And we need a leader who can take the decisions through the spirit that we're going through. A leader who can remain focused. A leader who can bring all of us together and unite us. And that's how come I went into the position. Much as I knew all the problems in it, I felt this is one opportunity that Nubi would need a leader who is firm and who is bold.
All right. Okay, Peter, just hold on briefly. I'd like to speak to Osman Yarega. Good evening to you, okay. Osman. Are you the legitimate president of Nubi?
Hello, good evening to you, and good evening to your listeners. I didn't get your question.
Are you the legitimate president of Nubi?
Yes, of course. Otherwise, you wouldn't be talking to me.
No, we are talking to you as a more or less...
Nubi president-elect.
As one of the Nubi president-elects, because you have two now.
Wow, okay.
You're not aware that there's another one?
Yeah, I know there's one gentleman also parading himself as a Nubi president, aside the Hamza Tuine, who is about to hand over to me.
When you say parading himself, you do not believe that the processes he went through to get elected were right?
if you listen to the news in the air and how he even got elected, you realize that this is a laughable event. In a situation where you have a gentleman go for a congress of our two or three institutions to elect him, then you know this is a laughable event. In a situation where you have a gentleman saying he's not president, yet his own institution wasn't at that so-called congress to elect him, and his institution went for another congress to elect me, then you obviously say this is a laughable event. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you came from somewhere to get to where you are now. They've always been a claimant to that position of Nubi's president, even against Suhini. There was somebody who also said he was a Nubi's president.
Yeah, with the issue of Suhini is currently the Nubi's president, and he has all his executives in line, from his secretary to his coordination secretary to his treasurer to his press and information secretary, all his executives in line. And they organized their congress in Wu. And I don't see a single man calling himself a Nubi's executive going to organize congress. And that person even is in question. I don't see a single person known as Abu Chefe going to organize congress alone. Then you need to question what kind of congress it is. Is it just a group of people coming together to call themselves NOOCs, or it's really the NOOCs we know.
So, Osman, how many institutions elected you as NOOCs president?
Well, if I begin to give you the list, we wouldn't end now, but I could just give you a bit. IPS, which the gentleman you're talking to belongs to, was at that Congress to elect me. University of Ghana, where his secretary belongs to, was there to elect me. KNUST was there to elect me. UCC, all the University of Development Studies, all the University of Education, Ghana Institute of Languages, NAFI, GIL, they were all there to elect me. So if you have just two or three schools that came together to elect him, and if you had national officers there, from the president right down to the women's commissioner there to elect me, you had block members there, we had representatives from TAC, we had representatives from GRASAC,
okay,
from USAC to elect me. And this is what really constitutes Congress, and not just two or three schools that go to sit elsewhere.
So how about the issue in court? You have an issue in court. You have a case in court. What is that about?
Well, I think the gentleman in there should be the best person to answer that question, because conversations with my president have told me that there's no issue in court. So, unless you tell me, the last time they went to court, they said they were restraining Hamza Sweeney from organizing Congress. And I think it came out to be fruitless. So, if the court itself didn't restrain Hamza Sweeney from organizing Congress, what shows his Congress is illegitimate.
All right, Osman Yerega, thank you very much. Have a good night.
Thank you very much.
Now, briefly to you, Peter Koji.
Yes.
How were you elected? How many institutions came together to elect you as president of NOOCs?
Yes, I think that it is instructive at this point to look at one thing that I believe that we've missed at that point. We have traveled down this road of illegality because we have chosen not to look at what the constitution is as opposed to what people think. If we want to move on the lines on what people think, we will be dealing with the rule of men and not the rule of law. If you take the constitution, since I joined NOOC 6 years down the line, I haven't attended any of this Congress where every institution has participated in Congress. And that is how come there is the importance to be able to defend at a call. Well, the line is bad.
Please go ahead. We can hear you.
Hello?
Hello. Yes, you're on air. Please go ahead.
The feedback is terrible.
Okay, then thank you very much for talking
Hello?
To us tonight. Yeah, Peter, I'm afraid we have to end it here. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Peter, for talking to us. Have a good night, Peter. Behind the news live on Radio Ghana in Accra, we just spoke to two claimants to the position of NOOCs president, Osman Yarega and Peter Kwesi Koji. You're listening to Behind the News. It's live on all regional FM stations of the GBC. Tonight our text line is 026-441-8767. The text line again is 026-441-8767. 54 years after leading Ghana to gain political independence, the Convention People's Party, CPP, has made another history. It has chosen a woman to lead the party. The party, at its congress over the weekend, elected Samia Yaba Nkrumah, MP for Jomoro and daughter of the founding father of the CPP, as the chairman of the party. Perhaps the party would like women to take the leadership position towards election 2012, as the first three high-ranking positions went to women. Apart from Samia, Mrs. Susan Edwamankwa and Mrs. Rodlin Ayana were elected as first and second chairpersons. But do those women have what it takes to change the fortunes of the CPP? What next after the Delegates' Congress? Behind the News tonight discusses these and other related issues with the newly elected third vice chairman of the CPP, Oting Anani. Good evening to you, Mr. Anani, and welcome to Radio Ghana Studios.
Yeah, good evening.
Before we go to the Congress proper, who are you? Because we don't seem to know you much in Ghana politics.
Oh, I've been around for a long time. I used to be in the PNC. I was a member of the President Hela Liman's campaign team for 92. We moved on to PCP to form a unity party, which later on became the CP and eventually the CPP. I was a national youth organizer for the CPP and handed over to Kabila, Komuna Bonfe, in the last Congress.
You lost to him or you handed over to him?
No, because I didn't contest again.
Okay.
Yeah. I moved on to contest for the vice chairmanship at that time in the last Congress, and I lost by 2 votes. So, I've been around being the chairman of the political committee, you know, the chairman of the Youth Affairs Committee, all this while until this election.
We'll go into the chairmanship position, which you are now the second vice chairman. I'm wondering why you're always going
for... the third vice chairman.
You're going for third, second. You never want to be the first, I mean the chairman.
No. In our party, it depends on the number of votes that one attains in an election.
Okay.
That will determine who becomes the first, the second, and the third.
So you contested for the chairmanship position?
I contested for the vice chairmanship position.
Okay.
But according to the number of votes that I attracted, two people were ahead of me, and I have to be the third vice chairman.
So how did it go, the Congress itself?
Oh, really, it was fantastic. Everything was fine. Although we had little hitches in the beginning, but that also will let you know that we're postponing our time. Our Congress time all this while was the mere fact that most people wanted to be part of the CPP, because the new awakening that has come to CPP was such that each time a Congress or each time election is done in each region, the next moment it becomes like someone says, oh, I was left behind, I didn't know, because everybody wanted to be part of it. So you realize that we kept on pushing our dates back and back, because we wanted to get everything done, get almost everyone on board, so that at the end of the day, we know that once we have a Congress, then we move forward as a family.
So you have the chairman, first vice chairman, second vice chairman. These are all women.
Yep.
And you are the third vice chairman.
Yes.
You do not feel intimidated to be working with three strong women who are all your seniors?
Oh, honestly, these women have been people that we've been working with in the party. We've been friends, we've been part colleagues in the party, we've been doing everything together. And they are, I see them as, you know, my big sisters. One is just almost like my colleague. So one way or the other, I think that we relate well already, and we can do things together in the party. Because most importantly, what we're looking at is making sure that we are able to find the team that will be able to work together. Because if you have the A team, that is what you need. Then you know you can do everything, and can even agree and disagree over text messages without necessarily sitting down and having meetings.
And you think you're going to succeed?
Definitely.
What are you going to do? What kind of success are you looking for? The presidency?
We're looking for power as the presidency.
Power?
Yeah.
That is, are the next election or 2016, 2020?
Good. That is a very good question. Don't forget that at the moment we are yet to go to our next Congress to select a flag bearer for the party, which we're looking at hopefully by the next 3 months. Now, what it is that we're trying to make sure that we put the whole party structure in place, making sure that what people are asking us to do is to make sure that this party becomes a very serious party, a party that is determined to rule the country. And that is a team that we've had. Now, don't forget that gone are the days when people always think that CPP is for the party for the old people. Now, you could see that the party has all youth in the party. A serious drive is being taken both on the internet, everywhere, going around registering people, tweeting around, getting people on Facebook, registering for the party, and all debates and forums going on all on the internet for the party. And it will amaze you to know that the party is constantly registering people every day.
You've always said this, even in the last election, we were told that, you know, a number of people were being registered almost on a daily basis in the thousands, but you went to the elections and you performed poorer than you had ever done.
Good. Now, what happened was that, in as much as I do agree, or it was a fact that people were registering every day, when you go after the elections and we did a little survey, what we realized was that people felt that, oh, we're not going to spoil our votes because eventually it's not going to give us power. That is it. Yeah. And now what has changed now? Yes, it has changed, because what is happening now is that they wanted to see a more vibrant and serious CPP. And this is what our predecessors put in place.
You think that people didn't vote for you in the last election because your chairman and vice chairman were not good enough?
No, you see, you don't build a party in a day. One way or the other, what we are doing is adding up to what our predecessors have done. The people started joining the CPP, and they've done that all this while. They're coming more and more and more until we grow to become very big.
So we are 15 months or so to elections, and you think that within these 15 months, the CPP can put itself together and win an election? I mean, the election of 2012?
It is possible. What I could see is that in as much as we do believe or we think that we are trying to target the next election, we also have a short and long-term plan, which I cannot tell you now here. Because we have our strategy, and our strategy is in place. What we have in front of us now is to go into the next election. Fine. We go into the next election with the full idea that we're going in there to win. But as to exactly what our strategy or our long-term plan or short-term plan is, what I can only tell you is the next election.
Mr. Anani, in your heart of hearts, do you truly believe that the CPP can win 2012?
Let me tell you one thing. Unfortunately, the two biggest parties in this country, you know, every day is being fight all over the place. Ghanaians are getting
tired.
Do
you believe that the CPP can win 2012?
There is a possibility.
Do you believe?
There is a possibility.
Do you believe?
I do. There is a possibility.
Where do you get that belief from?
Yeah, because I know what we're doing and I know what we're putting in place. Because all you know now is that we had a Congress and it was a successful one. Fine. That's what you know. But we can't sit here and tell you, or I can't sit here now and tell you the strategies and the things that we've put in place to move our party forward.
Why can't you tell us? That shouldn't be a secret.
No, it's just a strategy. And you don't go saying your strategies everywhere. You have a strategy and you're working with a strategy. You release your information as you move on. And what I can tell you at this moment is that this party is moving forward. No two ways about
parties
it.
Parties are built from the grassroots, from the polling station. The CPP is not even visible at the polling station, certainly in the constituency levels. We only know that there's a national, you know, headquarters and you have national executives there. But coming down to the grassroots...
Can I ask you a question? Those people...
Tonight I'm asking the question.
Yeah, okay. I'm putting the questions back to you. Those people you saw at Trade Fair site, you think they just came from Accra or the headquarters? You saw over 2,500 people over there. Were you at the Trade Fair site?
I wasn't there.
Fine, that is why you're asking me this question. Because let me tell you, if you were at the Trade Fair Center, people who came into this city, Accra, came from all walks of life in Ghana to attend this Congress. We had our Congress.
You know that 2,500 people from how many people do you have in Ghana?
Let me tell you, we didn't bring all the members. We brought selected officers to come and vote as delegates. But we've had all our constituency elections in every constituency in this country. And these are the representatives of various constituencies that came. It is not everybody who came. Or it's not every officer from the constituency who came to Accra.
So, your chairperson now is Samia Nkrumah. Do you think she won because she is a daughter of the founder of your party, or she won on her own credentials?
In as much as I can tell you that it was part, because once it's a surgical daughter, one way or the other, it gives her some level of credit, but it is due to her hard work. Did you realize that she contested with four people? So
yes.
Three other people competed with her. That tells you that it wasn't the mere fact that because she was Samia Nkrumah, it was just put on the silver platter that Samia Nkrumah come for it. It was a very seriously contested election, and she won out of the work that she did. She had to travel almost everywhere, do everything, sleepless night to be able to win that. It didn't come on a silver platter.
I'm asking this question because something that all of you have been elected lack some level of experience. You all seem very new on the job. How are you going to work, put yourselves quickly together and ensure that the CPP goes on to win the election?
No, I just told you that I've been around since 1992, and I can tell you that I am the oldest young man in there. Now, when I say I'm the oldest young man, I've told you that I've been around for a long time. I've been in this party since 1992.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been in this tradition since 1992.
Yeah, this tradition, not this party.
Is this tradition?
So you were with the PNC.
I was.
And you left the PNC.
No. You know, if you go into the history, you realize straight away that at one point, there was a PNC which wanted to have a unity with NCP, PHP,
yes,
and I think there was one more. And we all decided to form a bigger Nkrumah's front. It was at the point that just a few people from the PNC left behind, and they decided to stay behind and decided to continue with the PNC. So majority of the people from all the Nkrumah's family, NCP, PC, PHP, and one more, there were three. We all came together to form the PCP.
Okay, I'll come back to you, and we're talking about the unity of the CPP, because some say it is the most disunited party in Ghana. I'm wondering how you people are going to, you new executives are going to put it together. But let's now hit the phone lines and speak to the former chairman of the CPP, Dr. Edmond Dele, who was one of the four contestants for the chairmanship position on Saturday. Good evening to you, Dr. Dele. How are you today?
Great, I'm fine.
On Thursday, you told us you'll be giving us a victory speech tonight. Well, it didn't happen, but how do you actually feel about the whole show on Saturday?
Well, CPP is a good party. The decisions of the...
Probably, I'm sorry, do you have a radio set by your side, if you could just lower
Okay, let me move on.
Please go ahead, Professor Dele.
CPP is a great party. And we also believe in democracy. So what the majority decides, we go by it. So I'm quite happy that the election came on peacefully. And once again, CPP has won.
How are you going to contribute to the progress of the CPP? You had ideas that you wanted to, you know, bring on board to make sure the CPP wins power in the next elections. Now that you did not win, what are you going to do to help the CPP achieve
it? Definitely, I've always helped the CPP. He was talking about unity of the CPP. It was in Radito Clinic here that we had a Nkrumah Unity Caucus, and we were able to get the PCP and so forth, and I was the chairman of the PCP. So I've been a veteran politician and a loyal member of the Convention People's Party, and I'm prepared to contribute my quarter to the development. So the ideas I have, definitely, I'm prepared to share them with our new leader and chairman of the CPP. And you could see that he made a very clear gesture of trying to work with us. Those of us who fought together for the chairmanship and we lost, you know, he fondly held me and held Nylander. A sign that probably for the first time in the history of CPP, we are going to have a united front. What always happened was that during elections, people who lose stay away from the party. But she is bent on getting everybody on board, and I'm happy about that.
So then, but then, can you share with us?
Was one of my first things, unity of the party.
Yes.
But of course, the one who wins, they are the people to go and bring those who have not won. So I am confident that she will listen to some of the ideas that I have for the building of the party. And she knows that my priority was actually unity. The passions of the party are those which are going really, if they are not cared or made to understand, it will take a long time for people to become that united party that we are all believing for. People should let their self-interest down and then let the supreme interest of the party be our first priority.
Apart from the unity of the party, what other idea do you have for the CPP?
Well, definitely, I gave them my program, but as we said, in any context, you have your manifesto. And my first priority, I said, was overhauling of the party. That's number one. The structure, party structure. People talk about human beings, but human beings have to stay in some institutions. As I went around there, I realized that a lot of the party structures are either absent or they are deteriorated, and we have to go and remove them. By that, I mean the party offices, means of communication between one center to the other, and also logistics, because they really complain that we don't have enough vehicles at the party to be able to let the regional offices have some party vehicles so that they can communicate with the constituencies. And the constituencies too are crying that even if nothing at all, at least some pickups for them. And as you go down to the ward, they want some motorcycles, and then of course right into the police stations, even second-hand bicycles will do. And I assure them that once we are united, we can always come together and find ways and means of getting funds for this party. But the first thing is actually to get united, because presently there are lots of people, sympathizers of the CTP who are prepared to come in and help. And so I believe that. And of course, the youth. I've been very particular about the youth. I think we should create a space for the youth. They are yearning to come and take a central stage in the running of the party. But I believe that we should guide the youth, because youth with their exuberance, and that is why we were insisting that we should keep a space for the youth. And that's why I insisted in my manifesto that what we should rather stress is revising the constitutional structures of the party. That is the women's league, the youth league, and then these testers, the students in the tertiary schools.
Okay.
I tried to do it when I was the national chairman from 2008 to 2007. And I had even a blue print for the restructuring of the party. A document, if you read it thoroughly, there is very little you have to change there. From the polling station level up to the ward level, up to the committee, making every member of the party take an active role in running of the party.
Okay,
ensuring that when there are elections, we don't go and get zeros at polling stations. It is really a daunting job. So you need everybody on board. One person cannot do it.
Okay, so just a bit about your new chairman. Apart from the gestures that she demonstrated or showed on Saturday, you know, towards bringing other people on board and showing that kind of a, you know, laugh towards everybody, what do you think are her strengths?
No, her greatest strength is that she is the daughter of our leader, Osagyefo Dr.
Kwame. But to others, that is her weakness, because something that Osagyefo's ideologies no longer matter.
No, I think that it would be fair to say that his ideologies don't matter. Well, what is wrong with his ideology? Somebody who talks of unity of the African continent. Is it outmoded? Somebody who talks about state enterprise. Is it outmoded? By that public good, public schools, public should be improved. So that at least we are not against private enterprise. I know. Let me go back when they say we are old people. From the 1957s to about the 1960s, if you went to public schools, we had the best teachers you could find in the country. So what I'm saying is that let's go back to the public schools, improve upon them a lot. And then if some people want private schools, they can afford to go, no problem. And then you go to agriculture. We were very much interested in agriculture. And we wanted mechanized agriculture, even in those days. And the factories. And this old idea, I remember when I was still in the secondary school, we had the factory for honey beef in Bolivia. We had this tomato factory, we had show factory, and they retained some of these young people who are now rushing into Accra to look for jobs which are non-existent. So I don't see anything wrong. Those ideas are still valid today as they were 50 or 60 years ago. So I don't think they are ideas which you say they are not at all.
All right,
we did not say, yes, we did not exclude private enterprise, but private enterprise, which to some extent is guided in the interest of the country. But you just leave it free so that anybody can do that. Money flying away from our country to other richer countries. So state has to come in to regulate some of these things. I don't believe in deregulation. I believe in regulation of what is not. The interest of our country is more important than the interest of other countries.
Thank you so much, Professor Daly. Thank you very much for talking to us tonight, and have a good time.
Thank you.
Professor Edmund Daly was one of the four contestants for the chairmanship of the CPP, and also a former chairman of the CPP. Now, back to you, Mr. King. Do you think that Samia can do it just because she's daughter of the founder?
No. Samia can do it because she's working with the team. She's ready and prepared to work with everybody, and she's ready to listen to everybody. Now, she said in her acceptance speech that she's going to involve everybody in this, in her way up for getting the CPP up. So it is something that we are going to do, a teamwork. That is it. It is not one person being there to say, I'll be able to do it. No.
Mm-hmm.
That is not it, but it is going to be a teamwork. We're bringing, harnessing everybody's ideas and putting everybody's experience in place, like Dr. Daly just said to you. I was a national youth organizer when Dr. Daly was the chairman, so I worked under Dr. Daly.
Have you had your first meeting yet? I mean, the new executives?
Yes and no. We've had meetings one and one, two, but not us, the whole team, no.
How soon are you going to meet?
I think hopefully we're doing that tomorrow afternoon.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
And you have any idea what you're going to be discussing?
I think definitely it's going to be the party, or maybe one way or the other, we have to meet ourselves, we know ourselves already, but we need to sit down, at least break the ice and, you know, try to do something.
Do you know what your first assignment is going to be?
Yes, I do know exactly what my first assignment is going to be.
What can you tell me?
Yes, I can tell you my first assignment.
Please tell me.
My first assignment is making sure that all youth organizers in the various regions, right, come together and have a meeting, and for us to strategize as to how we are going to work with the constituency youth organizers.
All right. I just want to do just a couple of text messages. Okay, let's speak to a representative of the NDC, and I'll be asking you a question on the NDC and what the CPP thinks. But James Asante is the communications director of the NDC, and he's joined us. Good evening to you, James.
Good evening.
The CPP has come out of a congress, elected a chairman and other executives. How does the NDC feel?
I was so great.
You feel what?
Elated.
You feel elated?
Elated, yeah.
It's like,
for a successful congress, no doubt about it.
And the NDC somehow sees the CPP as a brother party or something like that. Is that true?
Come again, the line is
clear. Does the NDC see the CPP as a brother party? If that statement is right.
A brother party.
That you see them as your colleagues, as your partners. Oh. It's like you're more comfortable with the CPP than any other opposition party.
Why are we so comfortable with every party? Because we are a political party, and we expect that they're going to contribute to the development of multi-party democracy in this country.
Well, I'm asking that question because some members of the NDC have asked the CPP to join it for the next elections.
Well, I think I've heard about that, but they are entitled to their views and opinion. If they feel that the CPP will join the NDC, why not? And this is a political party, and that call is not coming from the national executive, I guess so. But then it's a political party, and we expect to increase in number. So if people are willing to join us, why not? We're ready to work on them.
Do you think that a rejuvenated CPP would not be in the best interest of the NDC?
Well, they have their own manifesto, they have their strategy, they have their vision. We are NDC, they are CPP, but we are bent on improving on our number, working hard to ensure that we retain power. So we are not bothered by what FCPP or MPP or PNC is doing. We are focused, ensuring that we retain power.
But the question I asked is whether the NDC will not be too comfortable with a rejuvenated CPP that could, you know, get much more votes than it had in the last election.
Well, like I said, it's a political party. And NDC welcome CPP. If it's a originated group and they want to join the NDP, we welcome them. We'll be happy to have them.
But there are also some who say that there are lots of people in the NDC who have Nkrumahist background, and that with this election, it's likely that some of them may leave the foot of the NDC, for the CPP. Do you see that possibility?
Anything happens in politics, depending on how you play it.
All right. Thank you very much for talking to us tonight, Mr. Santi. James Asante is the communications director of the NDC. Let's read some of the text messages that have come from you. This one, it has no name. Samia can cause a shock by becoming a president. Kodiakin Sinkeku says, my personal advice to all journalists is that the pen is mightier than the sword. Journalists must be mindful of the implications of the wrong use of the pen. Long live responsible journalism. Long live pens. Press freedom, and Ghana. This one from Comrade Ziga Donkoko, he calls himself. Congress, Madam Samia Nkrumah and all other comrades, for a peaceful and successful Congress. CPP, you did well by selecting your candidates. Keep on knocking, but you wait till 2016. This one says, Anani, because of Samia, I'm going to join CPP. She should do well and unite the party. Francis Benankai Wa West.
Thank you very much.
Baba Musa and UDS says, as a student, I find what is happening to NOOCs unacceptable and an embarrassment to the students' front. This one from Idrisu Pinin Kitekrachi, anti-politicians stopped meddling in students' politics. The students' front will always be divided. This one from Gilbert Emisa Elibu. Like father, like daughter, the spirit of Osage for Dr. Kwame Nkrumah has been inculcated into Samia Nkrumah. Congrats. And then Ali Wahab, the CPP should know that Kwame Nkrumah died with the party. That is why the likes of Kesi Pratt, Kuku Bahakun are in the shoes of NDC and NPP. And that's what he is alleging. Okay, now back to you, Mr.
Otinganani.
The issue of the NDC, some say that should the NDC or some of you in the MP, in the CPP, sorry, are actually praying for the disintegration of the NDC so that your party, you know, could grow. Is that a fact?
That is not the fact. The fact is we are looking to form build an independent party. Do not sit here and think that it is NDC alone which is going to suffer, or the people of Ghana, both in NDC and NPP, are fed up and they want a third force to move with. So this is what they are going to do. They're going to move from all political parties to join CPP. It has nothing to do with NDC or MPP. The whole thing is going to be a move from the two parties to join CPP. That is what we're talking about.
A move from the two parties, not just NDC.
Not just NDC, no.
You are looking forward to getting people from the two parties?
Yes, because we're looking forward to getting Ghanaians.
And if that doesn't happen...
I'm telling you that the Ghanaians in these two parties are fed up. They've come to realize that at the end of the day, what they have done, MPP and what NDC is doing...
Okay, I'll come back to you to tell me the scientific means by which you came to that conclusion. Let's speak now to Tony Abayafakabo. He is a youth organizer of the NPP. Good evening to you, Tony.
Good evening.
How does the NPP feel about the CPP after its Congress?
Well, we feel very excited because there are two genuine political traditions in Ghana, and we all do know the Convention People's Party and the UGCC, which is the antecedent of the New Patriotic Party, are the foremost political traditions in our country. And we are exceptionally glad because we think that the posture and the composure of the CPP in recent times offers a refreshing image for parties that claim to be on the left side of the political divide. And we are excited, and we think that it is important the CPP rightfully, you know, recaptures its place of the 1950s as a true social democratic party. And so, in terms of that, we are very excited about this new development, the new leadership. And, I mean, I predicted that Samia will eventually emerge as the chairman, and also it will be a very important statement. I think the CPP has made giant strides, especially with the first political party to elect a chairperson at the national level to lead the party, who's a woman. Don't forget the MPP has had that kind of situation where we have our regional chairman, Madam Chigabatia, who recently resigned to contest her seat. You know, and so it's very refreshing in that respect. Don't forget also that the CPP is the sparring mate or sparring partner of the MPP, and this dates back to our old political ideological rivalry that has existed between the two parties. And so we supported them with prayers, and we are happy that it was an incident-free, and I hope that the new leadership will be able to bring on board all those who contested with them the various positions that were up for grabs.
Would it be in the interest of the MPP to see, you know, a rejuvenated, vibrant CPP capable of winning power?
Yes, why not? Why not? We wish all political parties in this country very well. We hope that we have been through the same difficulties that the CPP is going through. You remember that the MPP has been in the wilderness for close to 35 years, and we emerged, and we believe that as our party emerged out of conviction, out of the long struggle, the CPP can make that giant stride in this respect, and we are very happy about that. We are not jealous about the political traditions or parties.
But looking at the terrain now, Tony, the reality on the ground, you have just one MP in Parliament. They couldn't get above 1% in the last election or so. Do you think that this party has the capacity to jump to 50 plus one votes in the next election?
Well, it actually depends on what the CPP. I'm not in a good position to answer that kind of question, but I can only hazard an answer in that respect to say that it depends really on what the CPP is looking for. If you do recall, the MPP had some sort of arrangement with the CPP, and that eventually gave them close to about three seats in Parliament. But unfortunately, they couldn't hold their end of the bargain, and so we let go, and eventually they emerged with one seat after the 2008 general election. It really depends on what the party is looking for. I believe that the strength of a political party is judged by the number of seats they have in Parliament. And so if the CPP will strive to recollect most of the seats that are traditionally CPP seats, which are currently being annexed by the NDC, then they will be making some leap in that way. But I believe that the oomph with which Samia comes with on the job, the fact that she's a youthful face, she's a woman, may just provide them some mileage in terms of regathering their grassroots supporters, especially the youth. Uh-huh. And I've heard her speak on many of the networks, and she indicates that optimism and preparedness to get down to the ground. And she uses her own victorious elections at Jomoro as a basis, you know, to say that that can happen. I like that optimism, that confidence that she shows. And so we wish them well, but we hope that they have a lot to learn from the MPP.
Okay, thank you very much, Tony, and have a good night. Anthony Abayi,
thank you very much. Kago,
the National Youth Organizer of the MPP. Well, let's go to the University of Ghana and speak to Mr. Kwesi Jonah, the head of the Political Science Department of the University of Ghana. Good evening to you, Mr. Jonah. Welcome to Radio Ghana. Hello, Mr. Jonah. I'm afraid we do not have Mr. Kwesi Jonah on the line. We seem to have lost him. Hello, sir. Can you hear me? Oh, your line is quite low. Can you hear me, Mr. Jonah? We seem to be having some terrible feedback. Good evening to you, Mr. Jonah.
Good evening.
Good. Now, how do you perceive or see the election of Samia? How is that going to help the CPP?
Samia has a... don't forget that she carries a very big, very powerful name. The name Kwame Nkrumah. Kwame Nkrumah, the founder, the father of the Ghanaian nation. Also, the life chairman of the CPP, the old CPP. So this is... the symbolism is very, very powerful. Daughter of the founder, the father of the Ghanaian nation, daughter of the late life chairman of the party, now assuming the position of chairman of the party.
Do you think the legacy of Nkrumah can help in any way without her own credentials?
Of course, there are very many people who think that the very fact of the daughter of the first life chairman, actually, of the party assuming this position could trigger the flow of resources from all parts of the world into the party. I'm not so sure about that.
Why aren't you sure?
I am not so sure. People put their money on a party that has a good track record. The CPP is actually a party on the decline. In the past, it had quite a few seats in the Ghana Parliament. Now it has only one. The proportion of the percentage of the presidential poll that it is able to capture is just around 1%. These are not the signs of a strong and a rising party. So there is a lot of work to do.
So what kind of leadership does the CPP need, you know, and does Samia come in with that kind of quality?
No, Samia has what she has to her credit is a very powerful, a very big name in Ghanaian politics. We all admire Osagie Foto Sokoine Nkrumah so much.
It's been a long time since Nkrumah left the scene.
But you still don't forget, this is the man of the century, last century. But as far as Samia herself is concerned, she is so very inexperienced in Ghanaian politics that she will need the support of all those people who contested against her, Professor Edmond Dele, Ladi Nylander, Araba Bentu Encho, and a few other experienced people within the party should help her to succeed. And she needs this kind of help, and she herself must go out, reach out to these people. Otherwise, I would say is that she has a big name, but she doesn't have such a big experience.
And some have even said that, you know, with talking about her credentials, even in Parliament, she didn't do too well. Some even were questioning why she was silent on major issues, you know, like STX and others. Do you think that these go to tell that someone may not be as good as one may think?
A contribution in Parliament is sometimes not a very good yardstick to judge people's performance. People sometimes specialize. For example, if I am a woman and I want to concentrate on women and issues concerning women and children, you cannot say that because I didn't comment on a housing issue, then it means that I lack leadership qualities. People sometimes want to specialize, and if certain specific issues come on the floor of the Parliament, you hear them contributing. So I don't think this is a very good aspect to education.
Virginia, thank you very much for tonight.
You're
and,
welcome.
Have a good night. Mr. Kusijana, lecturer in political science at the University of Ghana. We made efforts to reach Samia Nkrumah, but all those efforts failed. So back to you, Mr. Otinyanani. You heard what the lecturer in political science said?
Yeah, I did.
But the Samia had not that experience in Ghana's politics. You did not think that this could be her weakness?
She was not in the country. But ever since she came back, she's been learning very fast. But one way or the other, like the professor told you, we are going to need a team. And I told you earlier on that we are going to work as a team. We're using all the experiences that our members have, and we're going to work as a team. We're going to work with all the contestants. We're going to work with all the people who have been in the party and they have the experience to support.
And you also believe that the CPP will get a lot of, you know, foreign inflow into the party because of Samia?
No.
Or because of Nkrumah's name attached to her?
No, I don't think so. I think that once we do our things right, people are going to support us locally, and that will move the party forward.
All right, just a few text messages, and then we call it tonight. There is no way CPP is going to win any election in Ghana for the next 30 years. It's either NDC or MPP, and Kekweku, Adum Clinic, Santafi, and Kumasi. Indu and others should support the new executives to go far. Amadou Seydou Inwa, Sibiru Edmond, NPP and NDC have successfully divided nooks as they've done to SRC elections across the country. Please, Abraham, help me. Which of these gentlemen is the president-elect? God save Ghana. Bonkat in Bandai. Just your last word, then I'll let you go.
Okay, what I'll say at this moment is to tell every CPP member or anyone hearing my voice at this moment to know that the CPP is reborn. The birth of a new CPP what we have now was done last night at the Trade Fair Center, and everybody should come on board, help the party grow.
Saturday night, you mean?
Saturday night.
Thank
yeah.
you very much, Mr. Otinyanani, Third Vice Chairman of the CPP, and that's it for tonight's edition of Behind the News, which came to you live from Broadcasting House in Accra. Production crew is made up of Kingsley Obinchere, Edmond Tete, Christopher Siedu, Bright Agaman, John Poby, technical producer Bobby Nikwe. My name is Abraham Asari. Have a good night.